Mufter the Troops, the Deal Memo of Independence, written by Jamie Malinowski. Minutes of the Continental Congress, July 1st, 1776. The delegates, desirous of avoiding further hostilities with His Majesty's government, appointed a committee to negotiate terms by which independence might be achieved by peaceable means. The principal negotiator, the Right Honorable William Morris of New York, reported that the following terms had been discussed and are now proposed. The former British colonies, hereafter the American states, would hereafter be free and independent states, no longer owing any allegiance to His Majesty's government, except in the cases mentioned in the provisos following. First, the American states would agree to tender no challenge to the United Kingdom's title as preeminent English-speaking world power for at least 150 years. Second, they would only agree to provide aid and assistance to come to the relief of and to save the United Kingdom in any armed conflict of war sufficiently widespread or intense to be termed great or world. Third, the American states would agree to supply the people of Great Britain, 1, actress class female of sufficient attractiveness to serve as mistress to His Future Majesty, a Prince of Wales to be named later, 1, beauteous woman of sufficient ambition to serve as the mother of a future Prime Minister to be named later, and 1, skinny divorcee possessed of sufficient cunning to separate a diffident monarch to be named later from his crown. Fourth, the American states would agree to allow any and all subjects of the crown full access to and freedom to exploit any musical styles created by Negro residents of the American states, including boogie-woogie, blues, rock and roll, soul, and disco. Reciprocally, the United Kingdom grants to the Negro residents of the American states full access to and freedom to exploit any musical styles created by the residents of Scotland, including reels, slings, and dirges in perpetuity. Fifth, the residents of the American states would agree to maintain an unseemly level of deference to the members of the royal family and an undue amount of curiosity about their personal affairs, and to provide lucrative endorsement opportunities in the field of weight control for any former members of the royal family. Sixth, the subjects of the American states agree to provide audiences for the James Bond series of films. At this point, the presentation was interrupted by a question from the Right Honorable Swifty Lazar of Beverly Hills, who asked if the bond proviso applied in perpetuity. "The series is obliged to run until the end of time," Mr. Morris replied. "That applies to the girls, the gadgets, the villains, the whole schmear." Seventh, the American states would agree to subsidize, from tax levies, a television network dedicated to the broadcast of high-toned costume dramas and middle-brow police procedurals, produced in the British Isles, and to greet with enthusiasm, feigned if necessary, the musical compositions of Sir Andrew Lloyd Webber. Eighth, the American states agree to reserve to the British people supremacy in the following fields of athletic endeavor: golf, tennis, and football. A committee on sports relinquishment counterproposed that instead of supremacy in golf and tennis, His Majesty's subjects be enfranchised with their own Grand Slam events. "Football they can have," reported the Honorable Jerry Maguire. "Hey, I hold this truth to be self-evident. The shoe money's small. Besides, we can start our own kind of football." Ninth, the American states are obliged to maintain a fascination with really big British luxury ocean liner disasters in perpetuity. Tenth, residents, particularly of the former colony of New York, agree to the quartering of British subjects, particularly journalists, in their homes and apartments, to buy them drinks and dinner, and to treat them as insuperably witty and endlessly charming, without the expectation of reciprocal hospitality from counterparts abroad. Finally, the residents of the American states would be obliged to provide a full program of dental care, including prevention, replacement, and orthodonture for any and all residents of the United Kingdom. The delegates thanked Mr. Morris for his work and proceeded to debate the terms he outlined. While most of the terms were deemed acceptable, the delegates unanimously felt that the final proviso would subject the colonies to an outrageously exorbitant and punitively expensive program of oral hygiene, and was therefore onerous and a deal-breaker. Authorization was then given for Congress to receive the declaration being prepared by Messrs. Jefferson, Adams, and Franklin, and word was sent to General Washington to muster the troops. Signed, James Madison, Secretary.